You're listening to SBS News.
Raised in an ultra-conservative Anglican family, Ro Johnson spent her childhood being told she was broken. She says she lived an ideology of repression, made to choose between her faith and gender identity.
My story really starts when I was very young. Being a part of a family system that was very much dominated and controlled within a religious ideology. Very conservative, very controlling, very much this is the way you must live, this is the way you must be kind of system. When I didn't conform, that was treated and greeted by fairly extreme behaviours from my family, which went on for a long time and were really difficult.
The 49-year-old from Melbourne struggled from the age of 3 until her mid-teens. She eventually chose to play the game, to repress who she was, and in her own words, pretend to be what her family wanted her to be, a cisgender man.
Very much within a religious ideology that said, essentially, who you are is not okay, who you are is broken, who you are is damaged, who you are is fundamentally flawed and not okay. So for me, you know, it was always you had to go and talk to the minister, you had to go and talk to the youth pastor, or you had to go and talk to whoever it was, some supposedly caring person that told you, no, that's not okay, you can't be like that.
Remaining in the church, Ro married twice and had 3 children. But she was grappling with psychological and spiritual trauma that a study from La Trobe University in 2018 discovered could affect up to 10% of LGBTQI+ Australians.
I could never actually make life hang together properly. Nothing worked. Jobs didn't work. Relationships didn't work. The traumatic experiences of my life were very much grounded in an ideology of brokenness and an ideology of fundamentally not being okay as the person that I am.
Ro says it took years to find the language to talk about the trauma she experienced, a pervasive yet subtle conversion practice. Now, Ro and other advocates like Nathan Despot from the Brave Network for LGBTQI+ People of Faith are urging politicians to see the problem as one that runs much deeper than formal therapy.
Most of what we see now doesn't happen in the context of formal practices. It happens in informal settings, it happens in small church groups, it happens undercover, and it happens in pastoral care relationships, usually with church leaders, pastors and ministers, but also with other people. So it's really not something that we refer to just as conversion therapy.
After years of advocating, states are beginning to wake up to the problem. The Brave Network has thrown its support behind Victorian government efforts to draft a bill tackling the issue through civil law. Consultations have been ongoing for up to 5 years as the state attempts to digest the issues. Mr. Despot says it's hoped the coming legislation in Victoria can be a gold standard for other states to replicate.
Institute support for survivors through some kind of redress program that will address the transmission of the conversion ideology, as we call it, which is the belief that LGBTIQA+ people are broken. Also, looking at more tightly regulating this nebulous concept of pastoral care, which is the context in which most conversion practices occur.
Queensland is also taking action with a report on a proposed bill due on the 21st of February. Under that legislation, practitioners would face criminal charges and jail if caught proffering formal conversion therapies like aversion therapy, psychotherapy, or hypnotherapy. But Mr. Despot warns similar laws in the US have been too narrow to be effective.
That legislation has often been seen as symbolic, but it hasn't really stopped most of the harm.
The legislation has the strong support of medical bodies such as the Australian Psychological Society, but religious groups are pushing back. Christian Schools Australia and the Australian Christian Lobby are firmly against the coercive conversion practices. They argue any ban could prevent counsellors from advocating their interpretation of Christian sexual ethic.
Look, I think that there is a difference of opinion here over a matter that is very near and dear to people's hearts and very near and dear to their identities.
That's Martin Isles, a spokesman for the ACL.
There's no sense in which I or anyone else would want to delegitimise their stories, but there is a sense in which we'd want to say, all right, perhaps we can learn something from their stories, and we indeed can. But at the same time, it doesn't give us the platform to embrace laws that are effectively go so far as to prevent basic Christian teaching from being expressed.
Monash University constitutional law expert Luke Beck disagrees, insisting the laws up for debate are not an offence to religious teachings.
This is not about a state trying to regulate what Christians or other religious groups can and can't believe. It's simply a law proposed to regulate harms that might be inflicted upon people.
As the states edge closer to action, Ro Johnson just wants politicians to know their decisions could save lives.